99.5 and 90.1 FM KJZA Radio, Drake Prescott Williams Cottonwood Flagstaff, Arizona. Your national public radio and community programs connection, operating in partnership with NPR member station KJZZ in Phoenix. Coming up next, it's Dr. John Nay with his program, Dinosaurs, Science, and the Bible. And then at 9:30 this morning, Dave McNabb steps in with the Christian Corner right here on KJZA. And be sure to listen at 12:30 p.m. today for Ken Lane and his program, The Mountain Gardener, right here on KJZA.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
Greetings and welcome to the 60th edition of Dinosaurs, Science, and the Bible with your host, Dr. John Nay, retired religion professor from Summit College in Nebraska. Dr. John, what are we talking about today in this edition?
Well, Dave, today really going to address a very controversial subject. One as controversial as our other topic subjects, perhaps even a little bit more so. And I really want to talk about one of the reasons that the science in support of the creation viewpoint has been excluded from our secular educational system. And I'm a little under the weather here today, which I guess we're all basically under the weather or within the weather, the bottom part of the weather. I won't go there any further, whether you want me to or not. And I know, Dave, you're just kind of getting over your bug, too, aren't you?
Yeah, right. So I'm hoping to.
Probably got it from you, brother.
Oh, man. Sorry about that.
So anyway, of course, that charge being, we've talked about the science in our programs in the past quite a bit. And again, my proposing that there is good science to support the creation viewpoint and that it should not be excluded just because the creation viewpoint is found in the Bible, that science in support of the creation viewpoint excluded from our secular educational system. Well, one of the big mantras, if you will, for that, for the creation viewpoint being excluded, is the charge of separation of church and state. And I want to address that just a little bit this morning, if I might. You know, where this came from initially, and if you go through the Constitution, I have a copy here this morning, by the way, Dave, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights. You will not find the separation of church and state in those founding documents of this country. That comes, and I know you're somewhat aware of this yourself, Dave, so feel free to share here, a letter written by Thomas Jefferson to a minister, and I want to read the one quote that's taken from this letter, and very, very often, I want to read the rest of the a couple sentences that follow this quote. And the quote is this: the First Amendment has erected a wall of separation between church and state. Now, that's where generally the quotations stop. Let's read on just a little bit. That wall is a one-dimensional wall. It keeps government from running the church, but it makes sure that Christian principles will always stay in government. Now, that is vastly different than what the mantra that permeates our culture now, separation of church and state, and alluding to one sentence out of this letter.
Absolutely. That letter was written to a minister there. Thomas Jefferson was replying to some that was given to him by the Danbury Baptist Association in Connecticut. And so he was, you know, answering them. For people who think that there should be a strict wall of separation of church and state, well, it's pretty obvious that Jefferson didn't think so, because the week after he wrote that, he spent a whole lot of money to copy 40,000 Bibles to give away to the Indians.
Wow.
And, he also was one who prayed every day. He's one who worshipped in the White House and also in the Congress, and he's also one who wanted to make sure that they did have chaplains in both the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Yes, when I have not been personally to Washington, D.C., but I'm told and I've seen on videos and film and whatever, that quotes from God's Word and an acknowledgement of the Creator, God Himself, just absolutely replete over throughout Washington, D.C., and the Supreme Court building itself, and petroglyphs, I guess. Christianity being very much a part of the foundation of the nation. And I want to share something a little different this morning. I have here in front of me, Dave, preambles to the state constitutions, all 50 states, and just the opening sentence or so. I just want to read this, and Thomas Jefferson's idea was, his thought was, not to keep the church out of the state, but to keep the state out of the church.
That's right.
Yeah, and that wall of separation is it goes one way, and that's to keep the government, especially a tyrannical government, from dictating to the people. It's quite the other way around. Matter of fact, to hold a political office, a position, just almost any position in government, you needed to be a professing Christian at one time. Now, that sounds absurd to perhaps to some of our listeners this morning, but if you research that, I think you'll find that's true. Now, here's a listing of our states here. I'll begin with a passage of Scripture, too, Psalm 33, verse 12, which says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And the Lord referred to here is Yahweh. It's God. It's Elohim. It's the supreme being. This is not Buddha, if you will. I'll begin with Alabama, 1901, preamble. "We, the people of the state of Alabama, invoking the favor and guidance of Almighty God, do ordain and establish the following constitution." Alaska, as recently as 1956, "We, the people of Alaska, grateful to God and to those who founded our nation and pioneered this great land." Grateful to God. And if a person is grateful to anyone, truly manifesting the attitude of the heart of being grateful is a thing of action. It's a thing of the things that you do. It's not just mouthing words. Arizona, our own state here, 1911. "We, the people of the state of Arizona, grateful to Almighty God for our liberties, do ordain this Constitution." Arkansas. "We, the people of the state of Arkansas, grateful to Almighty God for the privilege of choosing our own form of government." And I just reread the Declaration of Independence this morning, and that's just what that's all about. Made a declaration of independence and separation and gave the reasons for that quite clear, declaring the reasons openly. California, "We, the people of the state of California, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom." Colorado, 1876. "We, the people of Colorado, with profound reverence for the supreme ruler of the universe." Connecticut, 1818. "The people of Connecticut, acknowledging with gratitude the good providence..." Dave, we may need to call for the elders and have a healing service here this morning.
That's all right, brother.
Okay, Connecticut again. "The people of Connecticut, acknowledging with gratitude the good providence of God in permitting them to enjoy," and goes on. Delaware, 1897. "Through divine goodness, all people have, by nature, the rights of worshiping and serving their Creator according to the dictates of their consciences." Florida, 1885. "We, the people of the state of Florida, grateful to Almighty God for our constitutional liberty, establish this Constitution." Georgia, 1777. "We, the people of Georgia, relying upon protection and guidance of Almighty God, do ordain and establish this Constitution." Recent, Hawaii, 1959. "We, the people of Hawaii, grateful for divine guidance, establish this Constitution." Well, where's that divine guidance come from, anyway? And I don't think it was some nebulous is something you couldn't get a handle on. That guidance comes from the came from the inspired Word of God. And again, this morning, if what I'm sharing sounds just absolutely out of left field, ludicrous to you, do some research. And not rewritten history research. Get back as best you can to the actual historical events. Idaho, 1889. We, the people of the state of Idaho, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom to secure its blessings. And goes on. Illinois. We, the people of the state of Illinois, grateful to Almighty God for the civil, political, and religious liberty which He, capitalized, hath so long permitted us to enjoy, and looking to Him for a blessing on our endeavors. Indiana. We, the people of the state of Indiana, grateful to Almighty God for the free exercise of the right to choose our form of government. And if you read the Declaration of Independence, that's what that was all about. Iowa. We, the people of the state of Iowa, grateful to the Supreme Being for the blessings hitherto enjoyed, and feeling our dependence on Him for a constitution of these blessings, establish this constitution. Kansas. We, the people of Kansas, grateful to Almighty God for our civil and religious privileges, establish this constitution. Kentucky. We, the people of the Commonwealth, are grateful to Almighty God for the civil, political, and religious liberties. Louisiana. We, the people of the state of Louisiana, grateful to Almighty God for the civil, political, and religious liberties we enjoy. Maine. We, the people of Maine, acknowledging with grateful hearts the goodness of the sovereign ruler of the universe in affording us an opportunity, and imploring His aid and His direction. Maryland. We, the people of the state of Maryland, grateful to Almighty God for our civil and religious liberty. Massachusetts. We, the people of Massachusetts, acknowledging with grateful hearts the goodness of the great legislator of the universe in the course of His providence, an opportunity, and devoutly imploring His direction. Wow. Michigan. We, the people of the state of Michigan, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of freedom, establish this constitution. Minnesota. We, the people of the state of Minnesota, grateful to God for our civil and religious liberty and desiring to perpetuate its blessings. Mississippi. We, the people of Mississippi, in convention assembled, grateful to Almighty God and invoking His blessing on our work. Missouri. We, the people of Missouri, with profound reverence for the supreme ruler of the universe and grateful for His goodness, establish this constitution. Montana. We, the people of Montana, grateful to Almighty God for this blessings, or for the blessings of liberty, establish this constitution. Nebraska. We, the people, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, establish this constitution. Nevada. We, the people of the state of Nevada, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, establish this constitution. New Hampshire. Every individual has a natural and unalienable right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. New Jersey. We, the people of the state of New Jersey, grateful to Almighty God for civil and religious liberty, which He hath so long permitted us to enjoy, and looking to Him for a blessing on our endeavors. New Mexico. We, the people of New Mexico, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of liberty. New York. We, the people of the state of New York, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom in order to secure its blessings. North Carolina. We, the people of the state of North Carolina, grateful to Almighty God and the sovereign ruler of nations for our civil, political, and religious liberties, and acknowledging our dependence upon Him for the continuance of those. North Dakota. We, the people of North Dakota, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of civil and religious liberty, do ordain. Ohio. We, the people of the state of Ohio, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, to secure its blessings, and to promote our common Oklahoma. Invoking the guidance of Almighty God in order to secure and perpetuate the blessings of liberty, establish this Oregon. All men shall be secure in the natural right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their consciences. That was Article 1, Section 2 of their Bill of Rights. Pennsylvania, preamble to their Constitution. We, the people of Pennsylvania, grateful to Almighty God for the blessings of civil and religious liberty and humbly invoking His guidance. Rhode Island. We, the people of the state of Rhode Island, grateful to Almighty God for the civil and religious liberty which He hath so long permitted us to enjoy, and looking to Him for a blessing. South Carolina. We, the people of the state of South Carolina, grateful to God for our liberties, do ordain and establish this Constitution. South Dakota. We, the people of the state of South Dakota, grateful to Almighty God for our civil and religious liberties. Tennessee. That all men may have a natural and indefeasible right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their consciences. Texas. We, the people of the Republic of Texas, acknowledging with gratitude the grace and benefits, beneficence of God. Utah. Grateful to Almighty God for life and liberty, we establish this Constitution. Vermont. Whereas all government ought to enable the individuals who compose it to enjoy their natural rights and other blessings which the author of existence has bestowed on man. Virginia. Religion, or the duty which we owe our Creator, can be directed only by reason, and that it is the mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity towards each other. Wow. Washington, the state of Washington. We, the people of the state of Washington, grateful to the supreme ruler of the universe for our liberties, do ordain this Constitution. West Virginia. Since through divine providence we enjoy the blessings of civil, political, and religious liberty, we, the people of West Virginia, reaffirm our faith in and constant reliance upon God. Wisconsin. We, the people of Wisconsin, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom, domestic tranquility. Wyoming. We, the people of the state of Wyoming, grateful to God for our civil, political, and religious liberties, establish this Constitution. Those are the preambles to the 50 states of our United States. Separation of church and state, get the name God out of anything to do with the state, anything to do with government. Wow. Look where we came from. Look where we came from. And I don't think there would be anyone, regardless of where you personally might be relative to the topics of discussion of our program, that would disagree that God has truly blessed this nation. Anyone that has studied any kind of history at all, and take a look at the history of the nations and the empires on this planet, including the Roman Empire, nothing, no nation, no country has been blessed to the extent of this United States of America. And I'm proposing this morning that that blessing is not happenstance. It came from a nation established upon the premise of the reality of an omniscient, omnipotent being, Almighty God, that created us, man in His own image, to which we are accountable to Him, the Creator. And we, again, have been truly blessed. Now, the antithesis of Psalm 33:12, blesses the nation whose God is the Lord, would be a real problem for the nations that do not profess God as the Lord. Well, it's interesting. Dave, I have a news thing I took off of Fox News here January 22nd of this year. And it reads like this. Illinois, moment of silence in schools ruled unconstitutional. Chicago, A federal judge has ruled that a state law requiring a moment of silence in public schools across Illinois is unconstitutional, saying it crosses the line separating church and state. Now, in light of what I've just shared, I absolutely ludicrous. I really at a loss for something to really describe, you know, where we have moved since the founding of this nation and the foundation of this nation, Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Constitution, and move to a point now where we can have a ruling from a judge that a moment of silence is promoting religion. Go on with this here just a moment. Adam Swartz, senior staff counsel of the American Civil Liberties Union, said the organization was pleased with the decision to, quote, strike down a statewide law that coerced children to pray as part of an organized activity in our public schools, that moment of silence. I think I probably speak for most anyone who's been a teacher. I've been a teacher for many, many years myself. You know, a moment of silence in school would be appreciated by everyone, I think, regardless of what they believe. And I want to bring this back and tie this in, of course, to the primary subject of what this program is about, dinosaur science in the Bible. And that being arguing the science in support of the creation viewpoint over the science in support of the evolution viewpoint, and back to our mantra, if you will, here on this program to some extent, and that is that it's intellectually dishonest to only present the science in support of the evolution viewpoint when, in fact, there is good science in support of the creation viewpoint. And one of the things argued against allowing the creation viewpoint to be presented in public school, even just the science in support of it, excluding any reference to Scripture or to Almighty God, is this thing of separation of church and state. And again, the initial purpose of that, or at least Thomas Jefferson's understanding was that we're going to keep the government out of the church. Matter of fact, that's what happened. That's why we're here. This is what America is about, is the fact that a tyrannical government, when you read the Declaration of Independence, that man has, since he's created in the image of God, he has the right, if you will, to declare separation from a tyrannical government. Now, I don't know if you're following me here this morning or not, you know, tying these two together, but I propose they do tie together. And I'm again on the science in support of the creation viewpoint, that using the idea of separation of church and state is specious, it's without foundation to argue that. Now, this sounds awfully foreign, I'm sure, to anyone listening this morning, but I would really challenge you in a kind way to go back and to research the basic documents relative to the foundation of this country, maybe just to take a moment out, a little bit of time out, reread the Constitution, the amendments to it, our Bill of Rights, which is what the amendments are often referred to as the Bill of Rights, and take a look at perhaps why God has truly blessed this nation. You know, and that can change. My position at the Bible College for many years in Nebraska was professor of Old Testament. And I could come up with many examples. I don't know how we're doing on time here right now, Dave, but okay, we have just a little bit of time. But teaching Old Testament and a nation that proposed to believe in God and to worship Him, when that nation would turn away from Him and become hypocritical, and by that I mean not just worshiping Jehovah God, but worshiping other gods, which is what happened to Israel. When you come to the point of the divided kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern, well, the northern kingdom, they were worshiping Jehovah God. I mean, if you put it in our vernacular, I guess they were going to church on Sunday, okay? But at the same time, they were polytheistic, they were embracing these other gods, and many of these gods, two in particular, required infant human sacrifice. And the Israelites, God's professed chosen people, you know, that professed to worship him, were involved in some of these horrific activities. The culture had influenced them the wrong way, which they're warned about that in the book of Numbers, that if they didn't purge the land as God directed them, that those that would remain in the land would become barbs in their side, thorns in their eyes. I reversed that, I know. But the bottom line is the bad influence would influence them the wrong way. And the leaders of that northern kingdom, some 19 different kings, there wasn't a good one among them. And that northern kingdom fell to the Assyrians with a tremendous crash. Southern kingdom held on a little longer. There were 20 different kings, but there were 8 that came to leadership that really made a conscientious effort to turn the people back to God, Josiah being one of probably the most prominent, okay? That nation still eventually fell because of the abscess within it, its own, like an abscess tooth. It was decadent within, although on the outside, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were doing relatively, they were relatively prosperous. They looked pretty good. They were strong militarily. They were strong economically. But yet, because of the decay within and the hypocrisy of professing to worship Almighty God and embracing these other gods, God allowed them to be chastened, because he chastens those whom he loves, just as a loving parent does. And we could go on and on, examples from the Old Testament, but blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But when that nation begins to turn away and embrace other gods actively, there's something about hypocrisy. God just, it does not, he's patient God, but hypocrisy is something God deals very quite sternly with. Anyone that would read Matthew 23 and the Pharisees would pick that up quickly. Well, anyway, our program is a little different this morning, Dave, I know, but this thing of keeping the creation viewpoint out of secular education because of separation of church and state, I'm proposing, is on a specious ground. That there, if a person takes the time to really look into it, you're going to find that foundation is not there.
It really is, John. And like you say, if you go back to Washington, D.C. and look around there, you'll see all kinds of quotes from the scripture. You go to the Jefferson Memorial, for instance, you'll see 4 out of the 5 quotes on his monument are from scripture. On top of the Washington Memorial, the first thing that the light hits in Washington, D.C. is the top of the Washington Memorial. Mm-hmm. And in Latin says, blessed be to God, our Lord and Savior, there at the top of Washington Memorial. Now, people don't know about that anymore because they've taken away the plaque at the bottom of the memorial that used to tell people that. So yeah, it's kind of a shame, you know?
Something, yeah.
Maybe that's another fatality of this whole issue that you brought up this time.
Yeah, spiritual warfare, as you know, Dave, it's all around us. I think we have just about 2 minutes, I think is all. I'd like to close with just reading just a little bit of the first part of the Declaration of Independence. You can contact me through creationscience.net, or Dave will share here. I can reach him at the studio, too. What's the phone number again, Dave, if you want to share?
771-1218. If you'd like to support this program financially, you can call me, and I'll be glad to tell you how to do that. 771-1218.
Okay, I think I'm going to go ahead and begin to read this. When we run out of time, we're done, okay? And just the first part of the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separation and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. And I think I'll go ahead and backtrack on that and stop there. You know, about the laws of nature and Mother Nature. Well, it's not Mother Nature, it's Father God. And God established those laws, and that's much of what our programs have been about here in the past. The world around us, the fingerprints of Almighty God, the God that we embraced when this nation was founded.